नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय मनुषम आश्रित्य कटिवर्षाणि वृष्णिभिः यदुपूर्यां सहात्वास्ते पत्न्यकटीय भवन् प्रभो Translation purported by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has no material body. Yet He appears as a human being. For how many years did He live with the descendants of Vrishni? How many wives did He marry? And for how many years did He live in Dwarka? Report. In many places, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described as Sat, Chit, Ananda, Vigraha, possessing a spiritual, blissful body. His bodily features are Narakriti, that is, exactly like that of a human being. Here the same idea is repeated in the words Manusham Ashritya, which indicate that He accepts a body exactly like that of a man. Everywhere it is confirmed that Krishna is never Nirakar. He has His form exactly like that of a human being. There is no doubt about this. Has been eagerly waiting for this moment. Having properly digested the ambrosial nectar of the supremely pure devotees of the Lord through the previous 9 cantos, that has only led to Parikshit Maharaj becoming more and more appetized to hear about the source of all that exists, that is Krishna. And His eagerness is revealed here through these numerous questions which He is asking about the Lord. We can try and probably feel the tremendous upsurge of emotions which must be erupting in Parikshit Maharaj's heart. Emotions must be getting churned as He is eagerly waiting to hear the supreme search matter in creation. Having already by now become completely purified of all material desires, having become completely free of the fear of death which is impending in the next few hours or few days, having lost all attraction for the things of this world, His exclusive mind is focused in great raptures and deep absorption on Sri Krishna. And therefore nothing is more important, nothing is more relevant, nothing is of any significance whatsoever in His life at this point of time than simply opening His heart wide open to receive that which can award you eternal life. So this is the great, great exemplary behavior of Maharaj Parikshit, who is about to leave His body in a few days. At this point of time, His focus is on asking about the Lord's form. What is the Lord's form? Man is made in the image of God. So even though it is say Narakriti, that means He is exactly like a human being, rather we are like Him, not He's like, He's not like us. Because we are made in His image. He is the original. and we are the Xerox copy. We are the duplicates. But he is the original source of all this form. Prabhupada is stressing on the word Sat, Chit and Ananda. What is the meaning of Sachit Ananda? Every day in the morning, when we are blessed with the darshan of the Lordships at Sringar Darshan, we utter these words every day. Angani yascha sakalendriya vritti manti pashyanti panti kalanti chiram jaganti ananda chinmaya sada ujjwala vigrahasya. We utter these words every day. Ananda chinmaya means chit, potency. Sadujvala, sat. Ujvala. Ujvala means dazzling splendor. Such is the vigraha of the Lord. It may be possible that we may encounter people who may think that this is an imaginary thing given. That since the mind needs to focus on some form, and since we are used to forms all the time, and it is difficult for us to absorb our minds in something which is formless, the spiritual teachers have given us some form which is compared. He is as beautiful as a lotus flower. Okay. His form is like the monsoon rain clouds. Some sort of comparison so that we can understand. Okay, like that. So is it imaginary? Well, as practicing Vaishnavas, we need to deepen our faith that there is nothing absolutely imaginary about what is being described here. Two evidences I will like to discuss which are powerful, which irrefutably establish within our own hearts that this is the form of the Lord which is described. When the Supreme Lord, who's of course all-knowing, as Sri Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India, he made a specific point to visit the temple of Sri Adikeshav Mandir. And having gone there, he rediscovered, he excavated back and brought back to the whole world this very important scripture which was hidden away for many, many years, the Sri Brahma Samhita. Why? Why was this scripture so important for Mahaprabhu to reveal to all of us? Because it reveals the verdict of the supreme authority over all knowledge, that is Lord Brahma. And in this particular meditation, which is the first meditation, the form of the Lord is described. How would the world believe that this is Krishna's form if the Lord was to establish any authority over it? The people still think it is imaginary. But when authority speaks something, and there is no authority higher than Brahma, and what is the Lord? What is Brahma's situation? At the dawn of creation, he is sitting in Padmasana's position and is deeply absorbed in meditation, divine meditation, spiritual meditation, not impersonal meditation. And at that point of time, the Lord, being pleased with his, it is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when he is pleased with his meditation, the Lord is actually reveals his form to him, his most supernatural divine form. And we as insignificant human beings are so blessed that even though we don't see the Lord, we don't even know whether we will ever see the Lord, but we are able to understand what the Lord still looks like. Because Brahma is absolutely in that pure state of absorption, just writing down what he himself is seeing. So it's a revelation. It's a divine revelation to Lord Brahma. And he describes this form. Venum kvanantam arvinda dalaya taksham. For us, this shloka is extremely important. it consolidates our faith irrefutably that Krishna, when I see him, will not be different than this. Whenever I go to the spiritual world, I won't be surprised that what happened? Am I in the wrong place? Am I meeting the wrong person? No. He will exactly fit into the minutest description given in the scriptures. He is exactly like this. No different. He's playing his Venu. Aravinda Dalayataksham. His eyes are like the blooming lotus petals. Blooming. He could have said lotus petals alone. Why blooming? Because blooming means the source of life. When a flower is blooming, it is turgid with life. It's in a bud form and it is growing. It's blooming. A flower is blooming, we say. Right? So he's full of life. His eyes are full of life. In fact, eyes are the are the significance of life. When the person actually is dead, the first thing we look at, the doctor looks at is his eyes. The eyes actually become opaque. A normal person's eyes who's living are transparent, slimy, bright. We can look into the eyes of a person and say, he's got life. And when you look at a dead person, the first thing you see is his cornea becomes opaque. So Krishna's eyes are full of life, blooming lotus petals. And he's having a peacock feather. Barha means peacock. Peacock feather. Asita Ambudha Sundarangam. Asita Ambudha means, Saraswati Thakur says that it is like a cluster of blue clouds. And then in translation he says it is dark blue clouds. So this is Krishna's actual color. His darkish blue monsoon rain cloud. This is the closest description of the material world that can be offered as per our scriptures. But when you look at a cloud, it is very dull, right? It doesn't inspire any divinity when you just look at a cloud. It's a very dull color. But sadujwala means it is dazzling splendor. Krishna is dazzling. That is important to understand. Even when a demigod like Ganeshji is described. It is described as Koti Surya Samaprabha. Right? Koti Surya Samaprabha. Like crores of suns is the effulgence of a divine person like Ganeshji. And Lord Nityananda was sitting at the under the water tree at Panihati. His form is described as millions of suns. Kaviraj Goswami says millions of suns are sitting there under that tree, and all of course all his associates are sitting under that tree. So divine people have this powerful prabha, which modern man will like to call it as aura, and he may photograph them and say oral aura photography and all that. But that is not just mundane aura. The Lord has no mundane aura. His aura is spiritual. Koti Chandra Shushitala. Nityananda Prabhu is described like this also. The divine form of Nityananda Prabhu is like millions and millions and crores of beautiful moons. So that's the element of dazzling splendor is there in any divine person. So it is clouds, which is a dull color of this material world, but when the clouds are studded with lightning, how would they be? Be dazzling clouds. So Krishna is like that. He is dazzling color. If he were to walk amongst us, it would blind us completely. It would dazzle. Even when Apsara walks, she has got dazzling splendor. When she walks, she has an aura which just spells bounds everybody by her charm. So that is just a mundane dazzle. We all will be astounded if somebody like that walks amongst us. We will just, who's that? Beautiful. These are damsels are beautiful people. But that beauty is in the realm of Pancha Mahabhut. Krishna has a form which is spiritual. Now, in this mundane world, there are also beautiful people. Some girls are very beautiful, some men are very handsome. Some actresses are beautiful with a lot of makeup, of course. A lot of makeup, they become so-called beautiful. And once they go home and take a bath or whatever, and they come in their natural, so-called natural form, then they are oftentimes very, you know, very different, right? Sometimes even ugly. Anyway, but when you talk about apsaras, they are not about lipsticks and cosmetics. They actually have beauty. They're just actually beautiful people. But as you go on the heavenly planets, the Pancha Mahabhut becomes more and more refined in manifesting the beauty within Pancha Mahabhut. So the body of a man in earth planet cannot be so beautiful. But as you go higher, the Pancha Mahabhut becomes organized in such a manner that it becomes more and more subtly beautiful. And as you go higher in planets, higher planets, the Pancha Mahabhut is organized in such a manner that it manifests topmost beauty. It becomes subtle and subtle and subtle and subtle. Then they have bodies which are naturally fragrant bodies. Now, anyone in today's world in Bombay has naturally fragrant body? You take a bath with the best soap, the most luxurious soap, and after 15 minutes of driving in a train, you just smell obnoxious. And all the deodorants cannot even suppress that odor sometimes. Right? But the apsaras have a naturally splendorous this thing, odor around them. They don't sweat like us. They don't need deodorants in the heavenly planets. But as you go higher, that becomes more and more refined. When you go beyond the viraja, so before you go to viraja, if you look at Parvati, she also has supremely divine beauty. But you cross the viraja and enter the spiritual world, the Lakshmis. So now, all mundane beauty ends at viraja. So the body of Lakshmi or Narayan is also beautiful, is extremely beautiful, but now it is manifesting in the realm of spirituality. It is the soul's beauty which is manifest now. So the soul is by definition unlimited. And matter by definition is limited. So however beautiful a woman of this heavenly planets may be, it is still a limited beauty. Because it decays with time and it is destroyed by the power of time. But as you go higher, all material inabilities are eliminated. All mundane things in terms of time are eliminated. So as you go higher in the spiritual sky, then the beauty of Lakshmi and Narayan is beautiful. They are very beautiful. But imagine that the ratio now from the best beauty of the material world to now the manifesting of the spiritual beauty starts, where there is no limitations. Matter covers, we have a beautiful soul. Rather, we are beautiful people because we have a soul inside. But our spiritual beauty is now completely marred, obscured by this dense cloud of matter covering the dazzling beauty of our own souls. But when you eliminate that, the soul is beautiful, is exceedingly beautiful, because it is a part of the all-beautiful Krishna. Yes, it is like a spark, but that spark is only a spark when it is in this world. It is like a spark state. In the spiritual world, it is not a spark. It actually blooms to its natural state of beauty, maybe as a grass, maybe as a tree, maybe as a cow. But within that cow of the spiritual world is unlimited beauty. Everything in the spiritual world, because it is spiritual, has got absolutely no material limitations. So the cow of the spiritual world is unlimitedly beautiful cow. So let's not only think in a limited manner that only Radha Krishna are unlimitedly beautiful. That unlimited beauty is pervasive in all elements of the spiritual realm. Because everything there is Sat, Chit, and Ananda. Everything. Everything, literally everything. The clouds there, the rain there, the ground there, the grass there. Everything is spiritual. And therefore, everything is dazzling splendor. Dazzling splendor. Imagine us seeing a beautiful, and beyond that, then just we have material and spiritual are quite opposites in so many ways. As material beauty decays with time, all of us know now, as we are aging, that it is very obvious that the beauty is not there. Whatever little was there is now gone. The hair and everything else, the wrinkles and, it's very obvious that things are deteriorating. But just contrast with the spiritual world, that as it is, they are imbued with innately spiritual beauty. And on the other hand, they are ever expanding beauty. Imagine that. Therefore, it makes things quite inconceivable to the mundane brain like us. What is the beauty of Krishna? It is impossible to understand this subject matter. It is impossible, literally. And I'm just giving you some logic to make it more appear impossible to understand. Just to make it more clear how difficult it is to understand. So if you have a beauty which is already not inebriated by matter, which is absolutely transparently pure beauty, and imagine that every moment there is ever expanding. That means Krishna is every moment is expandingly, unlimitedly more beautiful than he was in the previous second or the previous hour. And that beauty is expanding unlimitedly. What is that beauty are we talking about? It's impossible. So how beautiful is Krishna? How beautiful he is? And that's why we want to see him. Because he is very beautiful. We want to see him. That was the cry of George Harrison in his deep ecstasy of poetic composition. When Prabhupada described to him the Krishna book, and then he read Krishna book, and he understood Krishna's form, then as a poet, a spiritually blessed poet, he expressed his emotion of separation. My sweet Lord, when will I be able to see you? This is the perfect mood of aspiring devotee. He Radhe Braja Devi ke Chalalite, Hinanda Sunna Kurtaha. Where are you, Krishna? Where is that beautiful boy? So Krishna is beautiful like this. Sat. Sat means eternal existence. That means he is always beautiful. His beauty never deteriorates. And within that beauty is unlimited knowledge. So imagine when we say this body is earth, water, fire, air, ether. That means how the body is composed. And Krishna's body is composed of, not earth, water, fire, air, ether. His body is composed of three elements. Eternality, knowledge, and bliss. That means he's innately blissful. He's innately all knowledge. He's intrinsically eternal. That is what he's composed of. That means Krishna is always blissful. Ananda. Krishna has no anxieties. And then Brahma goes to describe even more further what he's seeing. This form of the Lord is so spiritual that Angani yasya sakala indriya vritti manti. He's a spiritual whole. Now our body is not holistic. That means our body is very limited. When spirit comes into this world of matter, it becomes corrupted with severe limitations. Some amount of variegatedness just does remain as a dim reflection of the spiritual variegatedness, but it becomes corrupted with specificity. That means the finger is only specific to doing a specific function. The eyes are become so limited that it can only see and nothing else. And the skin can only do touch function and nothing else. And tongue can only do taste and nothing else. So it becomes limited by just specificity. But in Krishna, there is no inebriety. Therefore, his body is completely whole. That means his skin can see, and his eyes can feel, and his tongue can also do so many other things. That means the Krishna is the undivisible, complete, holistic truth. His limbs are not in any way different than him. He is the complete whole. Therefore, he goes further and says, Pashyanti, he can see. Pashyanti, Panti. Panti means he can maintain. Kalayanti means he can destroy. Jaganti, the plural of Jagat is Jaganti. That he can, he is so spiritual that he can see from wherever he is. All the mundane and spiritual worlds, he can see. What a part of Krishna's vision. With our eyesight, is so limited. Just try to compare and contrast Krishna with ourselves. Our severe limitations and Krishna's complete unlimitedness. But our eyes are so limited that, you know, like the way I judge my eyesight many times is, I've been told to wear glasses, for example, the last 5 years, but I'm not wearing them. I wear it maybe very infrequently. So I judge my eyesight by coming in the temple and I stand behind and say, can I see Radha Gopinath very clearly today? If I see a very blurred face of Radha Gopinath, I said, my eyesight is not so good. How close I need to come to see them clearly? So I said, okay, I come. Well, when I come here, I can see them more defined. So my eyesight is that weak. You know, like that. So that's why I keep on objectively judging my own eyesight, if it is improving or not. By seeing how much clarity is there in seeing Radha Krishna. And of course, as I said, deteriorates, we'll need your glasses, presbyopic glasses and myopic glasses. But what is Krishna's vision? Krishna is in the spiritual sky, but this loka, Brahmaji is explaining clearly that he can see from there every part of the material creation and every part of the spiritual creation. Now what eyesight is that? How can a person be in one place and see all that is in the entire creation? That is Krishna's vision. So his eyes are so different than our eyes. No limitations brought about by flesh. He can see everything. He can hear everything. Gita says, in this way, his hands and legs are manifest. Unlimited hands, unlimited legs. It's manifest. Jagannath has got no legs, but he can walk. Right? Of course, he has big eyes and he sees everything. It's Jagat Kanath. So in this way, Krishna has got no limitations but about by anything. His eyes are spiritual. And the unlimitedness of Krishna's form, Mayavadis would like us to believe that when you say form, that means you're giving it a sense of limitation. How can form be unlimited? Now this is a very contradictory statement. Unlimited form. Wow, what do you say? It's unlimited. This is limited form. Limited. My body, 5 foot 5 inches, limited. When you say form, you are immediately putting a sense of limitation. But that's what Krishna consciousness is all about. Krishna consciousness is about eliminating the sense of rational thinking in one sense. That you have to understand that there can be unlimitedness in a form. It sounds very contradictory, and no scientific man will think that we are talking sense right now. How can form be unlimited? Two beautiful pastimes of Krishna, where he reveals this. That he can have a form which is very limited to look at. What is Krishna's height when he is with Yashoda? You know? What? 2 feet, 2 and 3 feet height? A child's height. No, 5 year boy. So, you know, just crawling around, playing around, doing misti and eating makkhan and all that. 3 feet form. And Mother Yashoda is today very angry with Krishna, very angry. It's going on again and again, so many complaints, cannot tolerate anymore. Need to bind him, need to restrict him, physically restrict him. That's the only way I can, curtail down his unlimited mischievousness. And so when she tries binding him with a rope, she's astounded that all the ropes of her house are not enough. Ananda Maharaj has got how many cows? 900,000 cows. And a person who has so many cows obviously has so much rope. Why? Because to milk the cows, you have to tie their hind feet first. Otherwise, the guy who's milking will get a good amount of, some ecstasy on his chin. So, they have to be tied. So, to tie 900,000 cows, how many rope is required? Several kilometers of rope is required. And all that kilometers of rope is being bound around Krishna's belly. And it is still two fingers too short. This is an example of unlimited form. Krishna's waist is looking just like our waist, smaller than our waist. But within that waist is... Satyavrata Muni tells him that that waist is the abode of unlimited universes. Please don't forget, within that Krishna is Mahavishnu also. Within that same small Krishna of 3 feet is the gigantic Mahavishnu. And within that gigantic Mahavishnu are unlimited universes, which are coming out from the pores of his skin. So imagine a form of a person who has Mahavishnu within him. Within that Mahavishnu are unlimited universes, which are just as small or as big as his pores. And that is a 3 feet Krishna. So that is Krishna in unlimited form. He is complete. For Narayan is there, Chaturvyuha is there, and Sankarsan is there, and Niruddha Pradyumna is there, and Mahavishnu is there. All of them are there in Krishna. And so within that, small limited form is unlimitedness. And even to make it more dramatic, this is also quite dramatic, of course, for Mother Yashoda, that she is completely baffled. What kind of a child I am having? You know, why is he not getting bound? She was absolutely flabbergasted. Everyone was amused. So Krishna shows his mysticism also like this, but without really, you know, like that heavy mysticism of Ramayana. It's just very playful mysticism. Mysticism in Krishna book also is very playful. It is not like for killing like that. And the more dramatic manifestation comes in the 10th canto, in the Brahma Vimohan Lila. But a small form of Krishna is sitting there with a small, maybe, I don't know, custard or laddu, whatever he was having in his hand. And Brahmaji is coming. He's bewildered, completely bewildered. And then from the small, small child Krishna, come out unlimited Vishnus. This is this. What is inside is coming out now. So we may think, oh, Krishna is very small and like that. But what is inside is coming out now. Unlimited Vishnus come out. All 400 forms of Vishnu. How many of them? Millions of Vishnu manifest around that one small tiny boy. And he's completely unaffected by what is happening around him. He's still enjoying his custard still. He's not even seeing what is happening. It's just happening. So Bhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. It is just happening automatically. They're coming out from his body. He doesn't know they're happening. It is already happening. So Bhaviki is just happening. All the forms of Vishnu are coming out, and around those forms of Vishnu are unlimited demigods offering prayers. And imagine the Brahma state. It was from a small boy, millions of universes of 400 forms of Vishnu come out. What was the Brahma state at that time? Again, example of unlimited form. So this is Krishna's divinity. This is Krishna's form. When you say Sachitananda Vigraha, there is so much to it. There is just so much meditation possible on these just 3 or 4 letters. That what is this form? Sachitananda Vigraha. It is not just something we just say and get away with it. There is the entire gamut of spirituality is in these 4 words. Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. This is the highest revelation of the spiritual world. Right? And it is this form which Brahmaji is so kindly revealing. And as for myself, I was talking about 2 evidences, and for myself, there's another tiny bit of evidence which I take as very important in my life, that Krishna must be like this and not anything else. And that revelation I take from the Leela of Radharaman. That here is, in one sense, a shapeless form of Shalagram Shila, Damodar Shila. And there is no manipulation here. It is not carved by somebody in Jaipur. Nobody is really, there is no Vishwakarma involved. I don't know who is Vishwakarma also. They say he is there, and I know he is there, but it's like my mundane mind. Vishwakarma is not involved in this carving process whatsoever. It is just the pure desire of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He said, I have no form of the Lord like my other colleagues, my friends, Goswamis have. And I have all this jewelry. How do I put this to a round, shapeless, apparently shapeless form of Ashila? He goes to take his bath and comes back from the Jamuna. Narsingha Chaturdashi is thinking, oh, Narsingha, they came out from a pillar. And next time when he comes, he finds, and he opens the cloth, and then you have this form, the same form, venum kvanantam arvindalayataksham, and the pure desire, Krishna, who is also there in that shalagram. Krishna is not there, Krishna is not there. Krishna is there in the shalagram, that's why he's manifesting, and he manifests the supreme beauty in a very small form, a very sweet form of the Lord, with his exactly well-shaped nails. It is the perfection of a form beyond any imagination of a Jaipur sculptor who can never imitate Radharaman. No matter how great a sculptor he may be, he cannot make a form like that, which is having slightly parting lips and a small denture seen through. How can somebody make like this? Right? Nobody can carve a teeth within Krishna's form. It's not possible that within his lips. He's just smiling so gracefully, childish, beautiful smile. And you can see Krishna's small dantudi, small teeth within that. Right? And he's still shamam, tribhangam, lalitam, niyata, prakasham. Is Lalita. Lalita's beautiful form. Manmohak. It's threefold bending. That is the form of Sri Sri Radharaman. And when the Goswami saw this form, they were spellbound by that beauty because they have seen Krishna. Now, if you and I were to see, but they have seen Krishna. Rupa Goswami has seen Krishna, we know. He writes. Sarang Goswami has seen Krishna. He has played with Madan Mohan. And Govindji was seen Sakshat by Rupa Goswami. So there's no imagination involved here whatsoever. But when they see Radharaman, and they discover this part of the body is like Radha Gopina, this form of the body is like Radha Govindji, this form of the body is like Radha Madan Mohan, is complete beauty. So the supreme most deity of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and loved by Lord Chaitanya so much, is Radharaman. So this, as far as I'm concerned, is another very powerful proof that Krishna is Tribhanga Shamam Nita Prakasham. Eternally manifest with displaying his transcendental flute, attracting all souls to come to him. So, it is this divine form of Krishna. He is not formless, Prabhupada says very clearly, affirmatively. Let us never feel, let us never believe the bad propaganda of the people around us. Prabhupada says, saying very clear here, there is no doubt about this. So whether we put our faith in Brahma Samhita or Radharaman or Prabhupada or Srimad Bhagavatam, let us always believe that Krishna has a form. But again, let's not limit him with our projection of limitedness as it is always there. We limit Krishna because we think there's a form. He has a form also like that. No, Krishna has got an unlimited beautiful form. And it is this beauty of Krishna which is our hankering. We all want to see beautiful things. And because we have not tasted Krishna's beauty as yet, we still attract to the beauty of this world. A so-called good-looking mobile, even that attracts us. Imagine how degraded our sense of beauty has become. Beautiful mobile, yeah. You know, that's our absolutely degraded, corrupted sense of beauty. There's a small, stupid machine, looks like all beautiful to us. Becomes all attractive. That's our corruption. That's our contamination. And people keep on buying. And they just keep generating so many different mobiles just because they are supposed to look more beautiful. But yes, more and more functions are there in a small mobile, right? More the technology means what the same mobile is the same form. But there is more and more function, right? Earlier also they were the same form, but the limited function, maybe 5 functions, 10 functions. Now, BlackBerry, whatever else is there, in the same form, but there is more and more functional potency. So even if we think that we are too much attached to mobiles, we can extrapolate the logic to Krishna, that Krishna is also that limited form, which looks apparently limited, but there's unlimited potency in that Krishna. He's got millions of functions are there in Krishna. He can see, he can hear a small elephant crying in a three-quarter mountain, in the mundane world, and he can just run towards him on his Garuda and save his dear devotee from from peril. Krishna's ears have got such a frequency. Our ears, most people need hearing aids nowadays. So many people having hearing aids. But Krishna has no hearing aids. The moment a devotee calls him, it's not important the frequency or the intensity of his call. It is what comes from the heart. The moment something comes from the heart, Krishna, who's also in the heart, responds immediately. Immediately he responds. It catches his ears. My devotee is calling me. There's Draupadi or Gajendra or anybody. Krishna, how do I feed Durvasa Muni? Krishna comes. So we are hoping that in relation to Krishna's form, we may end the discussion by understanding the relationship of form to Naam. Our Yuga Dharma is the process as Naam. And Acharya has explained that this form which you are talking about today, the form which is being described here, the form that this great devotee Parishit saw, was so beautiful. He saw this dazzling form where? In the womb of his mother. And having seen that form, he became so restless. Because nothing of this world could match up with that beauty. He became so restless to see that form. And now he's going to hear this form and feel that same form within his heart. So, the Acharya has explained that this form will be revealed by Naam. Madhurya Leela Guna Rupa Naam. So, by chanting Krishna's holy names with a pure heart, a sincere heart, this form of Shyamam Tribhanga Lalitam Niyata Prakasham, who's in the spiritual world, will be revealed even before we go to the spiritual world within the heart of a pure devotee. When a pure devotee chants purely, he is not seeing the yogic form of Paramatma with four hands. When a pure Vaishnava chants, he is seeing the same form of Radha and Gopinath within his own heart. It is not that form of four-handed alone, which of course also is unlimitedly beautiful, but he is seeing his own Ishtadev, whether it is Radha Shamsundar, Radha Gopinath, Radha Madhav, whomever he is worshipping, he will see within his own heart. Because Krishna is not just in the spiritual world. That form of Krishna is manifested everywhere. And he takes great pride, great honor, great privilege in residing in the heart of his devotee. So by chanting this name of the Lord, right now we are told not to meditate on the form of the Lord while chanting. We can meditate on the form of the Lord off chanting. When we are not chanting, we should meditate. Because when chanting, we should only chant. Because the name is, the form is there in that. In that name. It will reveal through that name. So there is no need to make a separate endeavor during Naam to think of form. Because it is going to be revealed in succession. As the next step, as the next step, as the next step. So we are entering into the tunnel. Entered into that. And through that is going to be revealed more and more. So we just keep chanting. And the chanting is sufficiently pure in Krishna's own estimation. Then he will reveal the higher realm of his existence in the form of his Rupa. And then we chant even more purely, and Krishna even more pleased with our service, he will reveal within that form what are the divine attributes of that form. Having understood the attributes of the divine form, we will truly understand what is the nature of the leelas of the Lord. And then the spiritual realization is complete. It's complete. And a pure devotee can actually experience Krishna's leela within his own heart. Don't we say that? Let me say that. More Amana Vrindavan, we say that. When a pure devotee speaks a leela of the Lord, he is not just speaking what is in the book, but he is experiencing the same leela within his own heart. How has that been possible? Because of his pure chanting. That Krishna has playing his own unlimited leelas within his own heart. Within his own heart. So, of course, that's a very far, distant, very distant, you know, hankering of our souls to where we can really experience this. But there's no harm in at least desiring that one day we with by pure chanting, that form of Krishna, that dazzling splendor will be revealed in our own hearts. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Any questions, any comments? We have got no questions. It's 9:15. So, thank you very much. Hari Bol. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.